Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I'd like to read from verse 7 to the end of the chapter. But before I do, I want to tell you that I've titled this message, Beloved Brethren. Beloved Brethren. Colossians 4, verse 7, it says, the Apostle Paul said, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, I've sent him with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. He was from Colossae. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Justus, Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, from Colossae, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and for them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Let me begin this by pointing out that we know a few things about some of these men, but we don't know hardly anything about many of them. Not much is written about many of these men at all. Sometimes we assume that all these men were preachers. But it doesn't say that all these men were preachers. It just says they were brethren and fellow workers, fellow servants. And I want to begin by saying that any service done in the ministry of the Lord is a service to the ministry of the Lord. One service is not above another service. Some of these men preached. There is some information given on some of these names. And some of these men preached. And some of these men traveled with and supported and encouraged the preacher. Both of those jobs are of equal importance. They're of equal importance. I think it was last Sunday. I feel like I have lived a month of life in the last week or week and a half. But I believe last Sunday, a brother from this congregation traveled to another congregation and preached. And another brother traveled to the same congregation and drove the man who was going to preach. And both of those jobs are equal service in the ministry of the Lord. And one job is not above another. I thank God for both of the men. I thank God for the service. Our Lord said, if you give a cup of cold water to a preacher, you get the same reward as the preacher. So thank you. Some of these men just showed up to the worship service. Some of these men were just faithful men who showed up to the worship service and made sure that their family was with them. And they just faithfully sat and listened to the message, which is just as important. How can a man preach if nobody shows up to hear him? One may be the mouth, one may be the hand, one may be the foot, one may be the ear. Every component of the service and work and ministry of the Lord is of equal importance. Now, I know that we all show up to hear the gospel to be fed. I know that's why we're here. We want to hear about Christ. We want to hear about the good news of the blood of Christ that has saved us. We're here to worship God. We're here out of personal need. We're here out of personal need. But with that, I believe we ought to consider our faithfully attending the worship services to be a ministry. That's how I felt this way for a long time. I believe we ought to see this as our personal need. And I believe we ought to see our faithfulness to worshiping our Lord as a ministry. When we are all here, it is so encouraging. Every brother or sister who walks through that door is an encouragement to every brother and sister who's already in the building. And it's just so encouraging. We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. We remind each other. This is life to us. The Lord has called us out of this world. I think about masses you see on television, masses of people. And you think, God chose me. You know, we think about Kingsport, but think about Tennessee. Think about the United States. Think about this world. God chose us. One man is not above another man. One woman is not above another woman. I know that Paul mentioned men right here. All the names I just gave were men. But he wrote this letter to the brethren in Colossae. And we read also the brethren in Laodicea. All the brethren, men and women. But he mentions some particular men right here. And these brethren who were so beloved by Paul. We may not know much about them, but we do know this. They were all sinners. They were all sinners. Verse 9 mentions Onesimus. You've heard the name Onesimus. He was an unprofitable, unfaithful servant to a man named Philemon. He stole from him. He ran away from him. He deserted him. Marcus in verse 10, that's Mark, the penman of the Gospel of Mark, John Mark, the nephew of Barnabas, who Paul and Barnabas had a division over. And I don't know what the problem was. But there was a problem so great, it broke fellowship between those men for a while. Demas in verse 14. I get so sad every time I hear his name mentioned. You heard of the name Demas? he's one who departed from the faith. He didn't just depart from Paul. He departed from the faith. He was a false professor of Christ. He was with them, traveled with them. But he was a false professor of Christ, one who claimed to believe these things. But ultimately, he had no heart for Christ, no love for Christ, no need for Christ. And when I think about that, I think, Lord, please don't let that be me. And I mean this. I mean this. Please don't let that be me. I'm at the mercy of God. I'm at the mercy of God. You know, people talk about hanging on by a thread. I'm not hanging on by anything. If God is not hanging on to me, there's no hanging on happening. And I'm at His mercy. I am literally at His mercy. I do not want to assume that I'm going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and a preacher of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of my days. I beg, Lord, please, please keep me. Please don't let that be me. I find it interesting to see that the Spirit of our Lord inspired Paul to say something comforting about each one of these men except for Demas. I want to point this out and then we'll move on. Verse 7, he said, Tychicus is a beloved brother, a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Verse 9, he said, Onesimus is a faithful and beloved brother. Verse 10, he said, Aristarchus is my fellow prisoner. We're in here for preaching the gospel. Marcus, Barnabas, Justus. Verse 11, he said, these are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God. Verse 12, he said, Epaphras is a servant of Christ. Verse 14, he said, Luke is the beloved physician, beloved by God, beloved by me. And then he said, Demas greets you. As if to say, he's here too. He's among us. But I don't know if he's with us. But Demas greets you. He says his greeting too. Lord, please don't let that be said about me. Please put the confession of Christ in my mouth and in my heart and in my walk. Let me identify with him. Let me identify with his gospel. Let me identify with his people. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by. Even me, let thy blessing fall on me. To finish my point here, verse 15, he said, Nymphas, this man Nymphas, the church is in his house, the church of God. And verse 17, he said, Archippus has received a ministry from God. So I believe there's a clear exception given in the Scripture here concerning Demas. But for the rest of these men, Paul said, they are beloved brethren. They are beloved brethren, loved by God, loved by me. I am right now looking at some beloved brethren. Beloved brethren. Last weekend and this weekend, I had the opportunity to see and meet and spend some time with some beloved brethren. We traveled a little bit. What makes us to be brethren? What makes us to be brethren? And what makes us to be beloved? There's one answer. It's the same answer for both questions. Look at the last two words of verse 7. The Lord. That's the answer. Verse 7 says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. The Lord. The middle of verse 11 says, the kingdom of God. We are fellow workers and beloved brethren in and unto the kingdom of God. God the King. Who's that? Verse 12 says, Christ. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our common denominator. He's our common denominator. He is our fellowship. He is the tie that binds us together. He is this Christian love that we share. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. That's Christ. He's the tie. He is our elder brother. He is the cause. He is the reason. He is the hope of this family bond that we share. In Christ, we're family. We truly are family. Every time the Lord reveals another confessor and professor of the Lord Jesus Christ, I get so excited. Because that's family. That's the revelation of another family member. Now, how is it possible for us to say that we have been made to be beloved brethren? How's that even possible? What makes us to be beloved brethren? Look with me at 2 Thessalonians 2. It's just a few pages over. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 13, it says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved," beloved brethren, "brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." What makes us to be beloved brethren? God does. God did. It's not a what, it's a who. God the Father, from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, and again, I just talked about, you know, the Lord chose us. You think about this. We see all of these people out there in the world. Think about the generations of time. And that God would set His affection on us. Before the foundation of the world, God chose us. He chose whom He would, and it was sinners. He chose sinners to be loved. He said, "I will love them freely." Why would God do that? "I'll love them freely. I'll love them eternally. I'll love them in spite of all their sin against me. I will love them." God chose. What made us to be brethren? God chose for us to be brethren. He chose, He adopted, He selected us to be brethren. And He did this. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 29, it says, "For whom He did foreknow," who He chose, who He selected and adopted, "He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." What does that mean? What does that mean, He justified us? What does that mean, He glorified us? What did He do? Verse 32 right here says, "He spared not His own Son," our elder brother, Christ our Lord, the one that unites us, the one who we're going to be conformed to the image of. "He spared not His own Son." That's what it took for this brotherhood to happen. Beloved brethren, that's what it took. Verse 32, "He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all." Who are the us all? All of the beloved brethren. Every soul He foreknew. All who are the called according to His purpose, as verse 28 says. All who are called to believe this truth concerning Christ, our elder brother. 2 Thessalonians 2 said, we're bound to give thanks for you because God chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit in belief of the truth. Belief of this truth. Look at verse 14 right here in Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You talk about not enter into a verse of Scripture. We have never entered into that verse of Scripture. Children of the living God, that we can call him Father, Abba, Father, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, he said, this is my beloved. Here's my beloved. And in him, we have been made to be beloved brethren. Beloved brethren. We're brethren in him because we've all been made to be brethren with him. I love this verse of Scripture. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And if he's not ashamed, then neither should we be. And that's what Paul is closing his letter to the Colossians saying. Go with me back to Colossians 4. After mentioning all these names, Paul gave four exhortations to all who are and claim to be and desire to be brethren. Beloved brethren. The first one is in verse 15. This is how Paul closed the letter. Verse 15, he said, salute the brethren. Salute the brethren. All right, four exhortations. Number one is, salute the brethren. I absolutely love this. I love looking up the original definitions and the meanings of these words when they were written in Hebrew and in Greek. What the writer was really saying. Sometimes we lose that in the translation. So we look up these words to see what the writer was really saying, what he really meant in this. And I love the true meaning of this word, salute. You know what it means? It means hug. He said, hug the brethren. All right, four exhortations. Number one, hug the brethren. It means draw to one's self. Here's the definition of the word. Draw to one's self. Receive joyfully. Enfold in the arms, embracing and kissing. Hug the brethren. Y'all better get ready. After this is over, I'm going to salute everybody here by order and commandment of God Almighty. Love them. Love them. We're beloved brethren in the Lord, in Christ. Love them, hug them, draw them near. Back in Paul's day, there was a big problem with people having favorites. A lot of the brethren went around saying, I prefer Apollos. And then other brethren would say, nah, I prefer Cephas. We still have that problem today. A lot of brethren go around saying, I prefer Don. And others say, nah, I prefer Henry. Paul said, let's not prefer anybody in Christ. A better way to say that is, let's prefer everybody in Christ. If they're beloved brethren, let's prefer everybody for his sake, because of everything he accomplished to make us to be beloved brethren. This is what Christ did for us. Let's not promote a preference for preachers or any of God's people. If it's a brother, let's leave it right there. Just leave it right there. If I believe that a man or a woman loves Christ, if I really do, and is not trying to create division from Christ and is not trying to draw men's attention away from Christ and such on and so forth, if I believe that a man or a woman truly bows the knee to Christ and believes on Christ, if I believe I'm going to be in glory with that person, I need to hug that person. I just need to hug that man or woman. If Christ hugged them, I need to do the same thing. That's a beloved brother or sister in the Lord. You say, well, I just don't like that person. Well, Christ shouldn't have liked me and you. But thank God he did. Thank God Christ liked us. Loved us, chose us, sided with us, forgave us, covered us. So for his sake, let's salute each other. Let's salute all of the brethren of Christ. That's the first exhortation. I'll be quick. The second exhortation from the apostle is verse 16. He said, read this word. When this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. He said, you read it. You read it to them. And you tell them to read it to everybody else. You just keep reading it. Just pass it along. What he's saying is, beloved brethren, let's make this word to be the centerpiece of our fellowship. Let's make this word. Let's come back to this word. This word is what keeps that union bound tight. Stay on this word. You know, people who claim to be brethren, there must be heresies among the brethren. Divisions come and such on and so forth. You know the only thing that'll keep that from happening? This word. If we all look at it and say, yep, that's right. For Christ's sake, let's forgive each other. Let's love each other. That's the answer to the issue. That's the doctrinal position right there. This word, stay on this word. If there's a problem, come to this word. Look to this word. This only speaks of and points us to Christ. Stay on Christ. Stay on his word. I'd love to spend all kinds of time warning us of the dangers of the wisdom of this world. I really would. I would love to take about an hour right now and really go over the dangers of following the wisdom of this world, but I just don't have time to do that. For now, let me say this. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, cling to the Word. Cling to the Word. Go to the Word of God, the Word of Christ alone. Cling to the Word. All right, third exhortation. Verse 17, he said, heed the ministry. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Take heed means, and this is good, and this is good instruction. Take heed means see to it. It means look on it. Behold it. Pay attention to it. Don't have the heart, and that's what he's telling Archippus right here. Don't have the heart. Oh, somebody else will take care of that. Somebody else will see to that. See to the ministry. Look on the ministry. See what the needs are and fulfill them. The Lord has given a ministry. God is the one who fulfills the needs of his ministry, but he uses the means of his beloved brethren to accomplish it. So here's the exhortation. Here's his closing exhortation. Hug each other. Stay on the word. See to the needs of the ministry that you've been blessed with. Guard, protect, nourish what the Lord has given. And finally, this is what Paul said. He said, pray for me. Pray for us. Verse 18, he said, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Remember my bonds. Pray for me. Pray for us. If we love brethren, we'll pray for them. Verse 12, he said, Epaphras, and this is so sweet to me. This is just so sweet. Epaphras was their pastor. He was their minister to Colossians. And Epaphras had taken a gift to Paul. And you know, he was with Paul at this moment in time. Paul was in prison. And he said in verse 12, he's speaking of their minister. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, he hugs you all in his heart, in his love. He salutes you always. Listen to this. Laboring fervently for you in prayer. We hear him. Is it his turn to pray? He's praying for you all. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Oh, I want them to be just before the throne of God. Complete in Christ. Verse 13. I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Laodicea is literally right next to Colossae, just side by side. But let's love each other through that right there by bringing each other before the throne of God in prayer. Let's love each other by bringing each other to God in prayer. I believe this. I strongly believe this. If we will bring brethren before the Lord in prayer, the Lord will cause those brethren to become beloved to us. The Lord will create a love for us in them. If we'll bring them to the Lord and bring them to the Lord and bring them to the Lord, they will become beloved to us. It'll strengthen our love and our bond. That's the greatest part of hugging up to each other and loving each other. It's drawing each other nigh to God in prayer. Pray for each other. In prayer, in worship, in the gospel, in fellowship, may God give us the unity of being beloved brethren. That's a sweet way to close the book of Colossians, isn't it? We've been here a while. And this has been a wonderful study. I've enjoyed this so much. I want to close the message with Ephesians 4. Go there and I'll close the message. Ephesians 4. No, it's Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 8. It says, Paul says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I love that. The whole family of beloved brethren in Christ. We bow our knees in thankfulness to him. Amen. All right.